Deer. That's what I think. I think they'll be fine. He's gonna say, I don't worry about that.
Oh, could you
make his rip? You know, it's just entirely my helpers does say it may take up to 60 days. I won't be able to respond back today. Good evening. I'd like to welcome you all to the regular meeting. This is January 11th, the regular meeting of the Board of Commissioners of Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. And I'd like a roll call.
Commissioner Newman?
Here.
Commissioner Coleman?
Present.
Commissioner Benson?
Here.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yeah.
President present. Dale?
Here. Commissioner Coleman, would you lead us in pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. At this point, we'll do the election of board president, vice president, and secretary.
Move to nominate the current slate.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Has been doing a good job.
Should we take it to the audience?
You don't have to, but you can.
Anybody care to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please signify by saying no. Nay. All right, we're going to move on. We'd like a report from the closed session.
Yeah, there was no reportable action taken on tonight's closed session.
Thanks, Ryan. All right, item eight, public comment. Anyone here that would like to comment on items not on our agenda? If you would like to speak on things that are not agendized on our agenda tonight, please step to the podium. You have 3 minutes to give us a comment on items not on our agenda. Seeing none, I'm going to move on to our consent calendar.
So move.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any comments from the board? All right, I will call the question. In favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. All right. We're moving into correspondence or communications reports and correspondence.
No correspondence. So we'll move on to the executive director report. Just a note that we're, well, in my particular case, but all of us really are participating in a number of stakeholder meetings and tribal consultations related to our heavy lift marine terminal and other projects that the district is engaging in. I'm happy to say that we hired two harbor maintenance worker twos. We had a great recommendation from our hiring committee, which is our director of administrative services, Mindy Hiley, our marina manager, Corey. We had an outstanding applicant pool to pull from, and we've added two members to our staff. We're pretty darn excited to have them. They started Monday. It'll be Friday for them tomorrow, and they're still showing up with smiles on their faces, so we're darn happy to have them. We're working to fill the facilities coordinator open position. That's the newly approved position, which is emphasis on facilities and property management. So we'll be continuing to look at the resumes received there. Commercial crab season remains delayed, but now it's for price negotiations. So we're real happy that our people will get up out in the water soon. The barn entrance, there's currently no draft restrictions. There's a little shoaling occurring on the north side at about 36 feet. There'll be a localized sounding scheduled tomorrow morning. The boarding's at 10:45. We'll be having a bar pilot going out as well as our marine contractor. And then there's a little bit of issue with marker number 9. This is there at Rock and Roll Alley. It's possibly submerged, or perhaps it's on the floor. We're not quite certain yet, so we're doing a bit of investigation. We're working with the U.S. Coast Guard to put up a flashing buoy in the interim until that can be further investigated. So Leroy and I are communicating from ZNZ Marine on this on a pretty recurring basis, also talking to the Patent Office for the U.S. Coast Guard and with Station Commander Rob Canepa. We have a chip ship headed in. It's planned to be a full ship. That's the Pegasus. It's due in port on the 15th of January. I think we're going to be at the pilot station at about 13:30. So quite a bit going on, good stuff. And that's it for now. I'll pass it on to Rob.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just since I'm still coming up to speed as a newish director on marker number 9, what's your method for locating it? Does it have some kind of a beacon or sonar? What's the method?
Sure. So this is a marker that we've had issues with in the past, mm-hmm. and was replaced. What we'll probably use is some sonar equipment, mm-hmm. and go to the next steps. Right now, we don't know if it's partially in and partially out. We're concerned that maybe it's dropped to the point where it might be just, say, a foot submerged. Mm-hmm. And that's also tidal dependent. We're in a real big tide period right now, especially during the day. We're in some pretty high tides. Towards the end of the day, it's a little different story. And, of course, that changes with the moon. So I'd be happy to share with you a little more investigation once we find
out. Any concerns about safety of vessels going near?
Could be.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is managed, of course, by the U.S. Coast Guard, but we're in close communication with them. The Patton is the private ace navigation group that helps us out. NOAA can help us out with those sorts of items, and this is not a NOAA marker per se. And then Station Humboldt Bay, which is the U.S. Coast Guard, also participates in that. So right now it's kind of a full court press, and we're hoping to know more really, really soon. That's why we're asking for a temporary marker that way, so people are aware it's there. We don't have a safety issue.
So is this a code red issue, or is this like code yellow issue?
But on an important side, put it as a yellow, could be turning red.
Okay. Yep. All right, thank you.
We will, just to clarify, this is a little bit out of our jurisdictional authority, certainly something we get very involved in. We will be asking for a notice to mariners to be issued, and that's mm-hmm. our way of communicating to mariners that we have an issue there. And that's a little delayed. I don't want to say we're frustrated, but we're concerned that it hasn't been issued yet, but we are working on it. Thank you, Commissioner.
All right. Just like last month, I participated in another multi-jurisdictional regional sea level rise coordination meeting. So there's a lot looking to the future for sea level rise and how we're collectively going to work on that. Chris and I also had a meeting with the county and coordinating on Baywide offshore wind master planning beyond the terminal project, just looking deeper into the future and what could offshore wind look like in Humboldt Bay, supply chain, workforce, a number of other topics. Chris and I have been continuing to talk about this concept for an abandoned creosote pile elimination program. I think we'll have a presentation on that in the future. Just a reminder that today and tomorrow, king tides at 8.4 feet, something to witness. A couple of events coming up later this month. The Yurok Tribe is hosting a tribal offshore wind summit, so keep your eye on that. The Blue Lake Rancheria is hosting a Humboldt Aquaculture Symposium, at which we will be speaking. And then in mid-February, the Yurok Tribe is hosting a Missing Murdered Indigenous People Conference in Sacramento, and I will be attending that. And that's my report.
Thanks, Rob. Any other staff? Minnie, you got anything to say? You sure? District Council? Nada? And no treasurer tonight. We have a treasurer, though, still, right?
We do.
Okay. Yeah, please.
Rob, just thanks for bringing up all those bullets. Just a couple of questions occurred to me. On the district county coordination, who specifically are we coordinating with?
Primarily the County Economic Development Department and the CAO's office, Deputy Director Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
though we've met with county planning, public works quite a bit, aviation. I think that's all.
Okay, thank you. All right, commissioner reports. Commissioner Higgins, would you like to start?
Flat-footed, Greg?
I almost did.
Yeah, well, I've pretty much just had my head down at home trying to finish a bunch of permits so that good things can happen in northern Mendocino mostly. Water conservation, riparian restoration, erosion control, forest health. I won too many grants. but I'm actually, I rejoice in my work. Fall Chinook Run is up this year, and coho are spread out in the South Fork watershed all the way to the headwaters, and steelhead are still up in the air. And I think I want to go fling a spinner and do a check myself one of these days, but it's got to back off on the rain a little. But it's good that the rain is consistent, but not torrential, because most of the Chinook spawn in the main eel stems. And so as long as it goes up and down like this gently, then we could actually have a pretty good brood. And about a third of the fish at Van Arksdale Fish Station were jacks, which means that it was pretty good recruitment for last year's fish. And since Chinook can spawn from 2 to 5 years old, then we might have another 3 or 4 good years of fishing if the ocean conditions support it. So I didn't know what I was going to say, and then I did.
Thank you, Patrick. Commissioner Benson.
Yeah, sure. I just want to, relative to King Tides tomorrow, the Sea Level Rise Institute and that coalition of many people led by Jay Patton and Dr. Laurie Richmond and Jen Marlowe and others are going to be doing a point in time, much like Humboldt Bay Keepers used to do, and Water Keepers is participating in this, I believe, as well tomorrow. So lots of folks are going to be taking photos from spread themselves out throughout the bay and, just sort of cataloging through photo documentation where the water gets up to, relative to land subsidence and sea level rise. So it's just nice to see a community effort and lots of folks interested in that. I'm also pleased just to report more collaboration with the district and Cal Poly Humboldt relative to senior capstone projects and doing some restoration planning work around the community of King Salmon. So nice to see those collaborations.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Coleman.
I was just checking to see, what time the tide was. It looks like 11:49 is the high tide tomorrow.
The North Spit.
Mm-hmm. At the North Spit, yeah. It's a little bit. Make
it's
its way.
Great day to kayak.
I know. Unfortunately, some of us are working. Might try and sneak out. Not a whole lot to report. Meeting with various and sundry stakeholders regarding terminal port development has been pretty busy. New Year shaping up so far. Hope everybody's as a productive and happy New Year.
Well, I guess I can give you a little rundown on what's going on with crab season. We're still on strike here locally. We've been open since January 5th. Another fisherman meeting tomorrow about that. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife announced that fishing will open in the central part of California as of the 18th at midnight. But the fishermen in that area can only use half their crab pots due to chances of entangling whales and other marine mammals. Hopefully we'll get going here soon. Other than that, I attended Crowley's Mixer last night. It's a great event. Got to meet a lot of folks there. And just a little word about the number 9. Used to be a buoy, and big winter swells wiped out the buoy situation. It was replaced by a 50-foot steel piling. And now that piling is thought to maybe be submerged on an angle where most mariners would know, especially in extreme conditions, to stay away from that area. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely a concern for the fleet. So that's it for me.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, been meeting with stakeholders. Not a lot going on since it's been the holiday season and I will say most of the time I think of king tides as an exchange, not just the high tide, because there's a low tide that goes with that. And generally the low tide that goes with it is lower than normal as well during these larger tides. So you should include the low tide with that so we can see what the exchange is.
You got it.
All right.
10 foot.
I know.
And we're going out on a kayak during that exchange. I'll just say being in a...
Or setting crab pots.
Or setting crab
pots. Or rings, crab rings.
It's like trying to paddle up upstream.
That's all I have. I'm going to move on then to unfinished business. We'd like to receive our report, our status.
All right.
And if it doesn't have some really, really good graphics and exchanges or
it transitions. Doesn't. It's really boring. So this is your monthly update on the Humboldt Bay Offshore Wind Heavy Lift Terminal project. And with each presentation, I struggle on how much background to provide. Because I imagine each time we do this, there's new people in the audience that don't have a lot of strong background, but I am really not providing a lot of background here. So anyone that isn't caught up on the project can access our website, and there's a lot of information there that can help you catch up. So some upcoming milestones. We've got a master project description coming up available this April. Recall that our notice of preparation had a project description in it. This project description will be dozens of pages long with a lot of diagrams, much more detail. So something to look forward to there. Along with that is a batch of technical studies that will be available in April. We have had multiple meetings with multiple different tribes and scheduled into the future. So just FYI, that continues. I've already mentioned this, these three events here. Happy to answer questions about those. We are tracking a second CEC grant. There's an EPA Green Ports grant that we are tracking, and we are tracking the possibility of applying for the PDIP again. So those are the three primary grants on the horizon that we're looking to, though there are others as well. And we are working on scheduling a public meeting or two in the coming months. So something to keep your eyes on. Some meetings that have occurred in the past month. I'm not going to go over every one of these. This is just, and I think I've missed a couple, but these are the primary groups that we have met with. But I want to focus on the one down there at the bottom, Coalition of Mariculture Businesses or Aquaculture. So we have been meeting. We had a second meeting yesterday and have more planned into the future with ongoing meetings scheduled with 12 different aquaculture, mariculture businesses. Yesterday, we met with 23 plus people. These are now scheduled to be reoccurring meetings. And the primary topics of discussion that these businesses want to understand and that have concerns about include the relocation of existing tenants, dredging for the marine terminal project, and both the initial dredging and the ongoing maintenance dredging. How that relates to turbidity and turbidity standards, this testing and sampling protocols, and what we can do to minimize, eliminate, or mitigate impacts to aquaculture through dredging. Stormwater quality and quantity of the project site during construction and operations, and how that affects the water quality of the bay, which is critical to aquaculture. The types, quantities, and origins of ships and the traffic, ship traffic that will be coming to the bay, and seeking to minimize or eliminate impacts to aquaculture from those ships. The regulatory and design options that we can pursue to prevent the introduction of pathogens and nuisance species into Humboldt Bay, primarily from that increase in ship traffic. And the exploration of a Humboldt Bay Biosecurity Task Force. So something we are actively looking into. And the state has a similar task force. The State Lands Commission is participating in a West Coast three-state biosecurity task force. So we're evaluating what that looks like here. And interest in us engaging with the California Department of Public Health, who regulates aquaculture, and how our project would interface with CDPH. There are other topics, just be aware that the aquaculture community's got concerns about the project. We're trying our hardest to take those seriously, research everything that they're asking us for, and engage in an ongoing conversation. And I don't think it's probably necessary to say, but you know, Humboldt Bay Harbor District has historically, and I recommend to the future, that we greatly value aquaculture in Humboldt Bay. And I think it's important for us to continue to remind ourselves of how important aquaculture is. Another primary topic of discussion is waterway access and how tow-outs and wet storage will impact ship traffic in the bay, which is a concern of fishermen, and we've been working with them on that. And then also permitting and decision-making processes and how the project will be permitted and who are the primary decision makers. And that is my monthly report.
Thank you, Rob. Very well. Any comments, questions from the board?
Thank you.
I'm going to take it to the public. Any comments, questions from the public? Please step forward. Tell me your name and where you're from, and give me your 3 minutes on Rob's report. None? All right.
Covered everything.
Nice job, Rob. So we're going to go on to new business, and we're going to consider adopting resolution 2024-01, a resolution committing the district to developing and adopting a green terminal strategy and roadmap for the new heavy lift multipurpose terminal to support offshore wind.
So moved. I'll second.
I got a motion and a second. So I'm going to start on this side of the table this time, Pat. Aaron looks ready. Would you any comments?
I think this is great. We just something has been.
I'm sorry, I didn't let staff explain.
Yeah, was there going to be a report on
this? Yeah, there's probably going to be some sort of.
Ron looked at me like, "You're going to leave me out."
Let's do it.
I'm so sorry, Bob. Yeah, I looked at him.
Aren't you
looking
to the PowerPoint you prepared for
this time? Yes, I am.
He gave
a night for
Rob all in
the inside.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rob. Sorry.
Would you like a staff report?
Yes, yeah. I would. Yes, please. All right.
All right. So this is talking about. I went to the wrong one. Here we go. There we go. Resolution 2401, resolution committing the district to developing and adopting a green terminal strategy for the project that we just discussed. Recall, this is the diagram from the notice of preparation, one of three actually of what the site could look like. And we have an updated version of this figure coming out in the coming weeks. So just a bit of background about the green terminal strategy in general. The state and federal governments have established goals for renewable energy generation through offshore wind development, as a reminder. There were three reports published in 2023 that independently determines that a staging and integration port terminal in Humboldt Bay is critical to both the state and federal governments achieving those energy goals. And the state has really called upon Humboldt Bay to develop this project. So from the onset of the concept, the district has been committed to developing this as a green terminal. And in March of 2022, Moffitt Nickel, we entered into a contract that you approved, and in that was a green port analysis. So we have been looking at this for quite a while. So the resolution before you is for the terminal. It is not for the port of Humboldt Bay. And so there's a lot of confusion here about the terminology. A green port strategy or green port plan would be for all of Humboldt Bay. And it's something we really want to work towards. And Executive Director Mickelson talks about this and looking to the future, how can we do a green port plan? We're going to start with this project and a green terminal. And this resolution is committed just to this particular project, just for clarity. So the resolution commits the district to developing a green terminal strategy and roadmap for the project and to bring that roadmap before you for adoption. So we're really just beginning the process of the details. So the resolution has multiple whereases, Chair Dale, I know that you like these to be one page, and we tried really hard, but through comments, it grew. So it's a little over a page of whereases. I'm just going to read the first two and the last one. So, whereas the planet is in the midst of an ongoing climate crisis caused by emissions of carbon and other greenhouse gases from human activity. Does gases have two S's in it? And whereas solutions to the climate crisis should not contribute to the problem through XX emissions. And it goes on with many other whereases. The last one is, whereas the Harbor District is seeking to develop the project as an environmentally friendly green terminal that will reduce local environmental and health impacts and be a point of pride for our community, the state of California, and the nation. So through those whereases, it then leads to this resolution, which has three sections. So section one is for you to direct staff to collaborate with our terminal developer and operator to develop a green terminal strategy and roadmap that would be brought to you for adoption no later than March of 2025. Section two is that the strategy should have goals and timelines for site operations to have net zero carbon emissions with individual goals for specific categories. And here's a list of examples. So we've got limiting emissions to the extent feasible at the outset of operations, at birth electricity or shore power, zero emission charging stations and equipment, on-site power generation, purchasing renewable energy for use at the site, and many other categories. And then finally, section three is direction from the board for staff to form an advisory committee to help guide the development of this strategy and roadmap. I could have made this presentation a lot longer, gone into a ton of detail, but I thought I would keep it simple and leave it at that. So the recommendation is for the board to adopt that, which directs staff to do those three things.
Thank you,
Robert. Oh, and yes, and our exclusive right to negotiate with Crowley Wind Services. I think their feedback on this is important, and so we have asked Amy to comment as part of the staff report.
Well, and you're going to do yours in prose, right? You're going to.
It is.
Everything's going to rhyme.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Actually, it's in haiku format. No. Good evening, commissioners. Crowley supports the Harbor District's resolution to develop a green terminal strategy and roadmap. One of Crowley's core values is sustainability. When we invest in a project, sustainability is at the core of that. This resolution that the Harbor District developed really reflects that initial step to integrating sustainability into offshore wind development, and not just for Humboldt County, but for California and beyond. So to reiterate, Crowley does in fact support this resolution and recommends adoption. Can I actually recommend that? Is that an official? I recommend it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anything, Chris? That concludes our staff report.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Chris. And Amy. Okay, now Commissioner Newman, you may.
Are you sure?
You have the floor. I promise you.
I just want to say that I think this is just a declaration of where we all want to go with this. I know everyone in the community's been asking for it, and I'd like to say more, but I'd like to hear public comment first.
Yeah, I agree. I'm fully in favor of this, of developing. All development needs to be done in as conscious manner as possible. I think something else that relevant to say, but it's escaping me now. So again, I just think, this is a first step towards many more steps towards creating this in as green as possible way, and not greenwashing, but doing it in the way that is really minimizing negative impacts and emphasizing the many, many, many positive impacts of these projects.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson.
Yeah, I think it's important that we make resolutions around these things because it helps drive the industry and research and development to create the technologies that are needed to really come to, 100% zero emissions and net zero. I'm curious, Rob, whether there are any milestones, like are we looking at in by year three being 30% and by year six being 60%? I mean, is there some trajectory of how much we can be off grid with this, and it's some kind of a timeline or trend line that we're holding ourselves to, or is it going to have to be adaptive completely?
Yes, that it will all be covered in that plan to be adopted by the board. Goals of certain percentages by certain years. Yes, that's all in the plan. And we're looking to other ports that have adopted similar things. So San Diego, Long Beach, Wainimi, San Francisco. So there's a lot of precedent out there. Most of those are bigger port-wide, but there's other examples that we're looking to. But a key part of this is for there to be goals at specific years over time.
Good. Look forward to hearing that. Thank you, Director Holmes.
Patrick, you don't have anything to say? All right. I'm excited that we're doing this. It's been a long time. We've been talking about it. We've been thinking about it. We finally have it on a piece of paper, and I'm thrilled. So, and I say to you guys that I say to the public in our meetings. Some people listen, Jen. Some people don't, Scott. That we are taking these types of comments and these sorts of issues very seriously, and we are working on them. You may not see it over the course of the last 3 years that this has been a discussion item, but we are, and we will get there. And there's multiple items like this that we are working on, we are thinking about, we are producing. It's just, it takes time to get it to this point. And so I thank you for your patience. And with that, I will take it to the public. If you would like to comment on this item, please step to the podium, give me your name and where you're from, and use your 3 minutes. I will add, because there's a number of us, that if you just want to say, hey, I support this, you can just say, hey, I support this. You don't have to repeat the same exact thing that the person in front of you said. But if you would like to repeat the very same thing that the person in front of you said, feel free, you have 3 minutes.
Oh, God. Hi, I am Robin Gray Stewart. I'm the Marine Chair for our local Sierra Club, the North Group of the Redwood Chapter. And the North Group of the Redwood Chapter supports all of your efforts to create a green port. We support a port that is specifically designed to reduce the use of greenhouse gas emissions and water contamination, as well as reducing noise pollution and maintaining strict waste management policy, scrutinizing all modes of transportation entering and exiting the heavy lift multipurpose terminal, whether by sea or land, and incorporating innovative ideas in the design of the terminal will not only help our community, but will also create a port that is a model for other ports. And while developing your green terminal strategy, I noticed that you put out that you were going to have an advisory committee, which is something that I strongly support. And I also hope that you will consider really including a lot of local input, because our community has a wealth of experts and ideas that could make this a really great project. Looking forward to all you're doing and hope to see your roadmap.
Thank you, Rob.
Hi, Jen Kalt with Humboldt Water Keeper, and I'm thrilled too. This is great. I want to thank the staff for doing such a great job putting this together. And yes, there's a lot of other topics that will have to be addressed, many different impacts, but this is a great start. And, we're kind of seen as by the rest of the state as, a bunch of country bumpkins, which we are, but we also have Schatz Energy Research Center here. And we have, RCEA, and we have a lot of expertise that is focused on the Bay and also on the technology that we're going to have to use to get there. So it's really exciting. I think this will be the first non-fossil fuel based port in the state. And that's fantastic, not just from the greenhouse gas emissions side of things, but just all the air pollution. You know, we have some of the best air quality in this area in the whole country, and we want to keep it that way. So the water pollution, the noise pollution, you know, we just don't need that, and it'll benefit everybody. So thank you so much. And I agree with everything that Robin said too.
Thanks, Jen.
Hello, my name is Alicia Bixler. I'm from Arcata. I'm just recovering from a cold, so please bear with me. But I first wanted to thank the Harbor District for this resolution. You guys are listening to us, and we noticed that, so thank you. This is a critical first step for lessening the impact of development on Samoa and Portside communities. I have a few questions about the terms of the text of the resolution. In Section 7, in Section 2, it directs staff to ensure the strategy roadmap achieves zero net emissions. Can you clarify what net emissions means and why you chose to use that language instead of zero emissions? Also, the document talks about how you will include individual goals and timelines for specific categories. If the zero emission is to happen at the onset of operations, what do these different timelines mean? I also wanted to comment on the specific goals of Section 2, which states that limiting emissions to the extent feasible at the outset of operations, and recommend that it instead says using the best available technology to achieve zero emission wind terminal at the outset of operations. Best available technology is a term used by the California Air Resources Board and ensures that the goals are achievable, but it also doesn't stop development if the technology is not there, but it pushes better technology and avoids retrofits. So just a few clarifying points and comments, but I am very much in support of this resolution, and I'm so grateful for your hard work. Since I'm up here and I have a little bit more time, I just wanted to say that I recently visited my uncle in San Pedro. He lives right next to the Port of Long Beach, and I couldn't help be there and kind of cringe and wonder if this is what our future is going to look like. I mean, I know it's not going to be the Port of Long Beach. It's one of the biggest ports in the world, but still there's tons of cranes and cargo, and it's lit up with lights until 11 p.m. at night. So I am still very concerned about the impact of this terminal on communities and our environment. There's still so much about this project that we don't understand. I have a lot of questions, like what is the increased shipping traffic going to look like? What will that environmental impact be? Will the terminal be lit up all the time? What about the noise? Does Crowley plan to lease the port to other companies other than the wind developers? Rob, in your YouTube video, you mentioned that you might have a more sophisticated visual simulation of the terminal, and I was wondering if that is available. Just, I haven't seen that yet. And because we don't fully understand the project's impact, I think we should wait for CEQA to be complete before approving the project or signing the option to lease. Instead of signing the option, you could instead have a lease light option where you and Crowley can enter into an area agreement where Crowley has the exclusive right to use the property during CEQA. You could do CEQA first and make the lease a condition of getting through CEQA. We also need a robust community benefits agreement.
Wrap it up.
That is legally binding. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Hi, good evening. Matt Simmons, Environmental Protection Information Center. Not going to take up my whole 3 minutes. Strongly support this. Really excited to see the language in the resolution calling for lowest emissions to the extent feasible at the outset, and excited to see this plan in 2025 and maybe pieces of it before then. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Please step up if you would like to comment on this item.
Good evening. Nice to be back again. Nice to see you all. So this is a note of appreciation.
Damon, where are you from?
I'm so sorry. I'm Carrie Venegas, Changing Tides Family Services, and also a member of Core Hub. So I just want to say thank you. I think this is a great step. I've talked about how like our role as part of the public is to make sure that things are happening and that people are being accountable for them. this is a wonderful way for that to happen. That's exactly what I am looking for and watching for and appreciating. I also want to give a shout out because the conversation and putting up a YouTube video, I think one of the best things about this process, honestly, has been the work that you all have done and the staff has done to make this so accessible and understandable. You know, coming away with what and a good idea of what this development looks like is so helpful when you're a member of the public who doesn't swim in this every day. So, of course, I'm always going to put the plug in. There is more work to do, community benefits agreement, the things and the opportunities that you have, but mostly I'm just here to say thank you. Good work.
Thank you.
Commissioners, Chris Moore, your representative, I drive Local 34. Big things take time, and this is definitely a big thing. So I think it's commendable that the commission is getting out in front of us and giving a lot of work into it early on. Aside from the opportunity, the potential for work opportunities that it'll bring to this community, which is very exciting. It's also nice to see that what this project is going to mean to the impending new car EV mandates, things of that nature. So I want to commend the commission for being visionary and getting out in front of this, like I said before, and helping this project to fruition. I also like to thank the folks at Crowley for being partners in this. And as always, we'll be happy to support any way we can. Thank you very much and Happy New Year.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Just very briefly, I'm Carol Vandermeer, and I live in Manila. And again, I want to say good job and really are very supportive of getting to a net zero terminal and hopefully the port in the future. And I just encourage you, when you have your community advisory committee, that it's robust, includes all the diverse expertise. And as a Peninsula resident, I hope that you have Peninsula representation as well as tribal representation, and we're really strong for supporting that. And so we want to be there for help and look forward to the upcoming community meetings that will be taking place. So thank you.
Anyone else care to comment?
Good evening, Bill Rich, Mad River Slough Shellfish Nursery. I live in freshwater. Thanks, Rob, for enlightening the commission on our meeting yesterday. Thought it went really well. We did have a really great group. Kind of feel bad for Adam and your staff. A lot of topics came up. Importantly, there are a few topics that are probably unmitigatable. With regards to the shellfish industry here in Humboldt Bay, we're not just a bunch of hillbillies like Jen suggested. Humboldt Bay, for over 70 years, has supplied over 70% of the shellfish for California. We're looked at as kind of the top of the shellfish for the state, as you know, Greg. And so, with that regard, I would just challenge that. So there's some real there's some real challenges and some real discussions ahead. My wife and I and the rest of the shellfish community have spent many days in the last month at meetings and trying to get our concerns heard. And I think we feel that our concerns are being heard. What will happen with all those is kind of the big question, but a lot still to come. So I just wanted to say that and represent the shellfish community. You know, on a personal level, I haven't yet seen the mock-up of these towers from Eureka, from Founders Hall, from Trinidad. These will be more than three times the height of the Samoa stack out there. You know, where's that image? I'd like to see that image just on a personal level. Thanks for allowing us to speak.
Thanks, Bill.
Good evening. My name is Lois Neuner. I'm with CoreHub. I just want to say thank you very much for this. This is a great first step and excited to support you all in making this really something cool. Thank you.
Come on, Amy.
Hello there. I'm Amy Jester. I live in Eureka and I work with the CoreHub. I just really want to appreciate the district's leadership in taking this important formal step to committing to a green wind terminal. I know from the earliest conversations that I've been part of, and then when I've heard you all talk about this, it's been a goal from the beginning, including protecting the health of the bay. So thank you for formalizing that in the resolution. I think one question that I have is how the roadmap will inform the CEQA process and document. So that was just a, you know, something that could be helpful to share about in the future with the community. And I just wanted to note that I really appreciate that the district has gone beyond just looking at zero emissions to really naming this project as a green terminal and having that as a concept, I think, which is noted in the whereases, but do think that it's important that it also be reflected in expectations around what's included in the blueprint, which I didn't quite see in there. So issues related to, you know, addressing water quality, coastal hydrology, soil contamination, the things that folks have talked about here today, air quality, noise, waste management, visual intrusion, and socio-cultural impacts as part of that green terminal strategy. So just wanted to put that piece in there, but mostly wanted to just say thank you for continuing to move it forward and having it be a sustainable project that really starts the offshore wind industry off on an important step forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. Please step forward. Give us your 3 minutes on our green terminal policy or resolution. Sorry. Nobody else wants to talk on this? All right. I'm going to bring it back to the board. You guys all said you had something more to say. You want to hear after the public comment?
I appreciate all the comments and just want to say that it really feels good that, you know, you look around the bay, you see the remnants of doing things recklessly and not the right way for generations. And now we're going to do things carefully and go forward in a sustainable way and make us great.
Steven?
No, just again, thank you for the comments. Thank you. Thank you for the nice words. It feels good. We're people up here. It's nice when people say thank you. I did hear. And so in the roadmap, I'm not sure in this roadmap, because this seems to mostly be dealing with energy, whether our green terminal strategy and roadmap would also be inclusive of water quality and other impacts, or if that might be a separate thing, but I'm sure that's something that we can continue to discuss. And it looks like you're going to respond to that.
Yeah, we can expand this to include other things, air quality, water quality.
Seems like that would make sense.
Yeah, also I want to appreciate the public throwing some love our way. Since I've been on the commission, I've sort of, you know, had a t-shirt with a bullseye on the front and on the back. I might be able to shed that at least until the next time that we're having the difficult conversations. But it's nice to be in this long road that we're going to walk together, you know, be at a place of consensus about some of the things. And we know that there's still difficult conversations to be had, and that we all want to do this differently and be a model of doing it well for the rest of the Pacific Coast of the U.S. I guess I'll, and then the only thing I'm really hoping to see too is that this, that the advisory committee be created as soon as possible and is very inclusive in its representation. And, you know, we have a lot of committees named, CoreHub has named a number of committees that they would like to see principle among that is the community steering committee. And, you know, so in order to not have a lot of duplication, I'm thinking that this advisory committee and the community steering committee could be very similar in terms of goals and objectives, and includes some of the same entities and people. So just looking forward to getting that on the ground so we can have more than 3 minutes at the mic to have input from the public on this, where there's more robust conversations. And I'm really looking forward to the roadmap and what the metrics might be and how we can hold ourselves accountable to this, so it's not just nice words on a, on a memorandum. Thank you.
Patrick?
Good.
You're good? Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you, Rob, for this, and Chris. You did get a little overbearing with the whereases. I want to remind the public and all of you here tonight that a resolution means absolutely nothing, okay? Absolutely squat, unless you hold somebody accountable for it, all right? It's not a law. It is not a, it has no power. So what it's saying is we, as a board and as a staff, are putting together a document which will have power, but this is just that. We are saying that's what we are going to do. And I feel confident that we are going to do that. But at the same time, you all need to understand that it's your job to hold us accountable for that. So I appreciate you coming to tonight. And I'm sorry you can't just sit on the phone with me
resolution number 2024-01, a resolution committing the district to developing and adopting a green terminal and roadmap for the new heavy lift multi-purpose terminal
for the offshore wind industry. Whereas the planet is in the midst of an ongoing climate crisis caused by emissions of carbon and other greenhouse gases from human activity, and whereas solutions to the climate crisis should not contribute to the problem through excess emissions, and whereas offshore wind has tremendous potential to reduce carbon emissions from electricity generation, and whereas the federal government has established a goal of 30 gigawatts of offshore wind energy by the year 2030 tomorrow, and the state of California has established a goal of 25 gigawatts of offshore wind energy by the year 2045. And whereas on March 29th, 2021, the President Biden administration announced a whole of government approach to catalyze offshore wind energy, strengthen the domestic supply chain, and create good-paying jobs. And whereas the Federal Bureau of Energy Management, BOEM, is in the process of leasing an offshore wind area off the coast of Humboldt, which they already have done, consisting of two sub-areas, and an offshore wind area off the coast of Morro Bay, consisting of three sub-areas, to five international energy companies. And whereas BOEM has identified future lease areas off the coasts of Oregon and California, and whereas studies published in 2023 by BOEM, the California State Lands Commission, and the National Renewable Energy Lab have each independently determined that an offshore wind staging and integration port terminal project must be developed in Humboldt Bay in order for the state and federal governments to reach established renewable energy goals. And whereas, in response to calls from the state to develop a heavy lift marine terminal to further offshore wind energy and to address climate change, the Harbor District has identified and prepared a master plan on approximately 180 acres of existing coastal dependent industrial lands to develop a new staging and integration port terminal project consisting of a heavy lift terminal, upland tarmac, and manufacturing facilities. And whereas, as of 12/13/23, the Harbor District has received more than $19.7 million in state federal grants to advance the project. And whereas, when the staging and integration port terminal project is constructed, Humboldt Bay will serve as a primary hub for offshore wind development on the west coast of North America. And whereas fossil fuel powered operations emit air pollutants that can cause health impacts to workers and fence line communities. And whereas the Harbor District has an opportunity to join other ports in California that have already committed to achieving net zero emissions by 2030. And whereas the Harbor District is seeking to develop the project as an environmentally friendly green terminal that will reduce local environmental and health impacts and be a point of pride for our community, the state of California, and the nation. Now, therefore, the Board of Commissioners of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District does hereby resolve as follows. Section 1, the board directs staff to collaborate with the terminal developer and operator to develop a green terminal strategy and roadmap for the project to bring the strategy roadmap before the board for adoption no later than March of 2025. Section 2, the board directs staff to work with the terminal developer and operator to ensure that the strategy roadmap includes goals and timelines for site operations to have net zero carbon emissions. The strategy roadmap will include individual goals, timelines for specific categories, such as limiting emissions to the extent feasible at the outset of operations, at berth electricity for marine vessels, shore power, zero emission charging, fueling infrastructure for vehicles, equipment, on-site power generation, such as roof-mounted solar, ground-mounted solar, battery storage, and or microgrids, purchasing renewable energy for use at the terminal, and other relevant categories. Section 3, the board directs staff to form an advisory committee of interested affected parties, including the terminal developer and operator, to help guide the development of the strategy / roadmap. So do I have a motion and a second? Can I? I might want to read it one more time. I mean, we still have time, right? 7 o'clock. So all in favor of passing this, please.
The resolution.
Please signify by telling Chris your vote and a roll call.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Benson?
Yes, indeed.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yes.
And President Dale?
Yes.
Thank you.
So is motion passed?
This is the
happy. All right. If there's more than 10 whereases, I should read it twice. People might have missed part of that. All right. We are moving on to consider adopting resolution. What's really interesting is that you guys don't know, we label our resolutions by the year and the number of resolutions. Is that how everybody does it in the world? I guess I should know that by now. But we're on number 2 already. It's our first meeting. We're on resolution number 2. Adopting an initial study, mitigated negative declaration, and establishing findings relative to and approving Harbor District Permit 2023-06 within conditions for the Eureka Food Reduction and Sea Level Rise Resiliency Project.
At the flood reduction.
Flood reduction.
Sorry.
We're not trying
food to and flood reduction.
Thank you, Mr. President. All right. So the City of Eureka's got the Flood Reduction Sea Level Rise Resiliency Project. It is multiple locations and improvements to central western areas of the city. Only one of the project locations is within the Harbor District jurisdiction. If you recall, according to the Harbor Navigation Code, the Humboldt Bay Harbor District regulates development that is below the high tide line. So there's only one component of this project that is within our jurisdiction. Their project will replace undersized storm drain pipes and culverts on the western side of the city, install tide gates to manage flows and limit saltwater intrusion into their stormwater system, construct low-impact development and rain gardens, some earthwork to increase stormwater storage capacity, installing trash capture devices to reduce the amount of pollution that could enter the bay. So that's when you see a plastic bag in the street and it's raining and it gets washed into the storm drain system that will end up in the ocean. This project has these trash capture devices to prevent that trash from getting into the ocean. Enhancements to existing tidal systems, so tide gates, channel excavation, replacement of culverts and adjustable flap gates. And there are no impacts to eelgrass, any protected species or navigation through this project. So this is Eureka looking on the west side there. Zooming in on this area, this is their project. You can see all of the red components. The area in blue is the only part of the project that enters our jurisdiction. So zooming in on that, this is the project map in that area. And you can see just down here, it just barely touches our jurisdiction. The City of Eureka has completed CEQA. I am not going to read this to you unless you have specific questions, but I've got all the information at my fingertips if you have questions about CEQA. And with that, I recommend that you adopt the resolution, which adopts the city's CEQA document, establishes findings, and approves the district permit. And since you're interested in numbering, this is permit number 2023-06, which those are numbered by the year and then the sequence in which they were submitted, not approved.
Oh.
So this is 2023-06. So it was the sixth permit of 2023 to be submitted to us.
So we're just now getting to it?
Well, it takes a while, yes. And we average six permits a year over the past 10 years.
That's an interesting statistic. So I'm going to take this to the board. Oh, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion, a second. Commissioner Newman.
Good to meet
you. Yeah, it needs to happen.
Yeah, this is fairly custodial. These permits. I do have one question that Director might be able to answer. In terms of the tide gates, are they fish friendly or habitat friendly? Are they side hinge or top hinge? Or do you know anything about the design of those?
Unfortunately, I do not know.
I know it's not protecting a discharge from someone on a bearing stream, but there is some bearing habitat, a few of those inlets and alcoves. So
I think for this entire project, all of the stormwater is entirely in culverts, and so there is no daylighted components of the streams, and so I imagine they wouldn't want to allow even saltwater to be going up in there.
Your standard top.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
And my only comment, Patrick, I'm sorry.
No.
My only comment would be if it was only this easy for our adjacent farmlands to get a permit to put a tide gate in and protect their lands from sea level rise. So seeing that, I would like to take it to the public. Anybody care to comment on our sea level rise adaptive permit for the City of Eureka? All right, I'm going to bring it back to the board. It is a resolution, so I will ask Chris for...
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yes.
Commissioner Benson?
Yes.
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
And President Vail?
Yes. All right.
That approves both the resolution and the permit.
All right. Yeah, we in the past we've had to do two of those.
Yeah, I tell you, that's how I always hear Ryan say, like, oh, you have to take a second.
Depends on what the motion was. If it was to do staff recommendation, then it did all of those things that are up there.
Well, Ryan's getting soft and a little bit.
Didn't look
resolutions. Yeah. Can read the resolution first. All right. We're on to the end of the meeting. So future agenda items. See on here. We are yeah, please Rob. Oh, we have MMIP. We have the PIDP grant. And then piling removal program and the concept. I'd like to see all three of those as an agenda item and a presentation. And I'm sure the pile drivers know how to pull piles too.
Right.
So they might be able to help you with that.
I'd like to hear more about the development of the advisory committees.
Development of the, like an update?
Yeah.
An update of the advisory committee development. You got that? I think that's probably well within.
Definitely coming to a not so far in the distant future agenda.
Yeah. Okay.
Might it also be possible, are we within a month of seeing any kind of modeling of the turbines? Or is that something separate?
April. I would like to see them as well.
Modeling in the pictures as Bill suggested, or
visual photo simulations. Visual photo simulations. Yeah. So we have taken hundreds of photos from dozens of locations, identifying the orientation and distance of each of the major photo locations, looking for sensitive receptors, and then modeling what the project looks like from those locations, and then doing photorealistic simulations from 5 to 7 locations, so that from the ground level, so that you can see what they look like, and then each of the other hundreds of locations have an equivalent point. So if you're at point A and you want to know what it looks like, but we didn't simulate from there, we say that point B is the equivalent.
Sounds easy.
It's taking some time. First we have to define exactly what the project is, and but it's underway and scheduled for April.
Thank you, Director Holman. We keep hearing that this is a marathon, not a sprint. So I'll try
to. Yeah, patience is not our virtue. So, all right. Anybody else with any future agenda items? Then I am going to adjourn our meeting. Thank you all for coming. Have a wonderful January. See you next month.
Happy birthday.
Happy New Year. Enjoy the party.
And then your birthday?
Oh, okay.